Angelo, being the yacht owner he is,
I am not a yacht owner.
Has to take out the boat on Saturdays from time to time. He's a little preoccupied.
He's got to do some barnacle cleaning. He has to make sure that the
he has people for that. He doesn't have to do that.
Yeah, he has to go oversee it at least. He has to make sure the work is getting done.
I did not own a lake house. My parents. You know what? We're done. I'm not even going to go into this. What is going on, everyone? Welcome to episode 201 of Little Root Lessons. I'm cold and I want to cry, and I'm joined this week by Jay and Carter. I hope you're doing better than me.
I'm not getting, you know, 13 inches of snow or whatever, but we are projected to get like 2 to 5, I think. So,
oh, that's nothing.
Yeah.
I had snow on the ground this morning and it's already gone, so.
Yeah, we got 2 inches here. We got, like, nothing. I am hoping that upstate got... I mean, I know upstate got a lot. I'm hoping that maybe the trucks can't get down from upstate tomorrow and I won't have work.
Oh, darn. What a shame.
Oh, man. Shucks. Yeah.
Amanda, she already decided that she's going to be working from home tomorrow. But, like, that's the thing. It's like, we got 13 inches of snow today. And then Wednesday, it's going to be mid-50s, and it's all going to be gone. Because this planet is dying! Yep. And while we're on this dying planet, we play a very fun game called Pokemon VGC. And there was a tournament in VGC this weekend. Portland Regionals, the first Regulation F major. First week of the official start of Regulation F. And you guys want to just dive right into it?
Sure. So, huge shout outs to Alexander Hill. Congrats on your win. Let's see. I have Lab Mouse pulled up. I don't know if it's actually loading.
The screen hasn't loaded for me yet.
All right, cool. Now it did. There it goes.
Now it's
So, to the surprise of no one, Fluttermane was the most popular Pokemon on the weekend. How many players did we have?
We had 500.
Over 500.
502, Fluttermane appearing at 289. That's a lot of Fluttermanes.
57.8% usage.
Also, at the same time, I'm not really surprised by that number. I think that Fluttermane is really good. Like, to the surprise of no one, it's really good and it's going to continue to be really good. And I actually think the addition of, like, Raging Bolt and like the rise of Landorus is actually really good for Fluttermane. Having these other special attackers that people have to be prepared for means that like they're going to eventually have more weaknesses in their team to Fluttermane, in my opinion. Like the fact that Raging Bolt was as popular as it was and, you know, eighth here in usage, like that's something that just doesn't really appreciate Fluttermanes. But you know, I also think that this format is still very young, and like everything in the top eight, in the, you know, top probably the top 10 for sure, I'm not really surprised by. For Rigorath being at 12 is kind of surprising to me, but also at the same time, like we kind of talked about earlier, day two usage, there is so much priority that like having for Rigorath be that high is like the natural evolution. So the fact that like people were already metagaming and like had Ferrigraph so high is just really cool to me.
But we also see Ferrigraph fall off so heavily into that day two usage where we see the rise of these, you know, more extreme speeders like Dragonite was something that popped up big time into day two. So it feels like the meta shifted more for Ferrigraph, but it ended up not being able to actually make the cut, really.
Yeah, the highest placed team here is in 10th in Giovanni Costa's hands. Really interesting team having Dark Urshifu. It's like, it feels like this like really interesting like balanced core of just like Fluttermane, Ensign, Urshifu, but like it's not Waterfu. it's Dark Urshifu, and then to round out your Firewater Grass Corv, why not, you know, Water Ogre Pond? why have mini Corv when one Corv do work?
Well, when you mentioned the Dark Urshifu, and Dark Urshifu, there were two of them in the top eight compared to one, one Rapid Strike Urshifu, which that in itself, again, is super crazy, especially when you look at there wasn't a single Urshifu in the top four. And speaking of Dark Urshifu as well, Dark Urshifu actually jumped all the way up from unranked to 11th, I believe, in the day two.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So the Urshifus were good. And it's just, I think, a couple friends mentioned this to me before we recorded, and I also brought this up to you guys. And Jay, you really went on this because every single week, my Entei take is worse and worse. Just
funny.
Just like old takes expose me, throw me like old yeller me behind the shed or whatever. These aren't Pokemon that are like Entei, not Entei. Dragonite was, a lot of them were Choice Band Dragonite that were bound to that extreme speed to do damage, and if it wasn't clicking the extreme speed button, the damage into Ferrigraph wasn't reliable, especially if you were Terra Fairy Dragon Ferrigraph to stop the potential outrages as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot in this format is taking the Sacred Fire, especially when next to Champao. And to have that really, really great and consistent stab option that isn't that isn't based on whether you terror or not, that's the big thing for Entei and why we saw that drop off in Ferrigraph, where all of these priority Pokemon, even like Urshifu Rapid Strike, still, like, sure, it has the Aqua Jet, it still has Surging Strikes. Single Strike has the Sucker Punch, but it also has Wicked Blow. Same with King Gambit, which, again, Sucker Punch, but it also has the Kowtow Cleave. Like, all of these Pokemon have other really, really great moves to hit, that so it has a tool already on its kit to take out the Ferrigraph and then start doing the Cryo Spam.
Yeah, Ferrigraph as like a Pokemon it's been something I've been playing a little bit more recently. I slotted it onto one of my teams I've been playing, and I definitely haven't been thrilled with its levels of bulk, its survivability, its like actual presence when it's on the field. Stopping priority is great, but when you just play around the armor tail and you just click, you know, your strong other moves, it becomes really tough to deal with. And the Ferrigraph doesn't add a ton in the matchups. It can't really take an outrage. It doesn't love taking an Icicle Crash or an Ice Spinner. And it definitely doesn't like to take two of them, a double up. So... I understand the drop off.
Like, speaking of things that like it doesn't really like to see, is like, I'm sure Searching Strikes just does a ton into it. Like,
yeah,
why? I don't think it's I believe it's probably depending on how much bulk. Yeah, it doesn't KO, but it's
yeah. I'm not surprised to hear that.
Yeah, it's a definite two hit KO, and it's also one of those things where you can double into it because a lot of these Ferrigraph don't carry protecting general. Where it's like it is an easy Pokemon to double into that slot. I was excited when I saw it in the top 12 yesterday. Ferrigraph is one of my favorite Pokemon. I'd say out of like all of the new Pokemon from Generation 9, it's like in my top three favorite Pokemon that have been introduced. It's just that like its ability is very necessary. But it's probably missing even like 10 to 20 extra stat points in its bulk stats to make it like super usable.
What Ferrigraph really needs is an evolution so it can have EV
life. That's looking at you.
True.
Either that or...
No arguments here. Evolite makes everything better. So I actually have Giovanni Costa's team pulled up here. Which, granted, I have it pulled up for me. But Dark Urshifu. So this team is Booster Fluttermane, Wellspring Ogre Pond, Assault Vest Incineroar, Life Orb for Rigorath, Choice Specs Golden Go, and then Focus Sash Dark Foo. Things that I think are really interesting. We have Terra Grass Ensign with knockoff and U-turn. Granted, we're Assault Vest, so like no parting shot there makes sense. The specs on Golden Go, we have Focus Blast and Trick, which are like both moves that, well, Trick makes sense. That is one we have seen here recently. But Focus Blast sense. Is really cool. I'm a instant. Fan of that.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's instant, like 10% of the time when it actually hits.
You know, 10% of the time. And then the thing that I really love about this team, we're Terra Stellar Dark Urshifu.
It honestly, that's it makes a lot of sense for that Pokemon because you can just like click the really strong moves. You can use it as like a one time just Focus Sash, just. You live a hit, you get a Wicked Blow, and then you can come back and hit a close combat immediately afterwards. You can do close combat and follow it up with a Sucker Punch. It's, you know, since you're not actually trying to have any defensive flexibility with the Sash, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
On, like, Stellar Terra there. And we've seen it a lot on the Chien Pao throughout the tournament today. Like, the one who won and the top two were both Ghost Terra. But I believe Colin Hires was Stellar Terra Chien Pao.
I can confirm.
No, that one was Ghost Terra, actually.
Yeah, but there were a few Stellar Terra Chien Paos. And it's, I think with the Stellar, it's really great on these super offensive Pokemon that run Focus Sash. And specifically in Chien Pao's case, or Fluttermane's another Pokemon that has used Stellar Terra as well. When you have the amount of, like, you're not running, like, you have all the different coverage moves, and to be able to get those extra boosts on those extra coverage moves on a Pokemon where, like, with Flutter, you're usually just going Terra Fairy to get those fairy boosts. Well, now you can also get the boost on your Shadow Ball and your coverage move. Chien Pao, you can actually do legitimate damage with Sacred Sword and also get boosts to your stabs, which you usually aren't getting because you're going with a Terra Ghost to avoid Fake Out. Well, just protect in front of the Fake Out. Or run for Giraffe.
Also, Stellar Terra was used on 30% of Chien Pao's.
Yeah.
I'm actually curious how high it was overall.
2%. 45% were on the Chien Pao total. I think 2% makes a lot of sense because your actual use cases for the Stellar Terra, I think, are very low.
Mm-hmm. It's something that the last couple days I have tried to really play with and try to figure out. I was working with like Superior today. I'm just like, oh yeah, Contrary, that makes sense. Let's do that. And I think the big problem was that Superior is not very good.
try Enamorous.
Yeah, I ran into that. Better. I ran into that earlier. I'm just like, yeah, that claps really hard. Who knew Superpower is a very good move? And like with all the Intimidate running around, getting a boost to your attack anytime they come in is really good. That's one I ran into that I really want to try that I have not yet.
Well, speaking of like the superpower, we even see it with Chuppa's, the Defiant Ogerpon Teal Mask with superpower.
Mm-hmm.
The Incineroar switching into that is pretty much signing its own death warrant because it makes the superpower that these Teal Mask Ogerpons have been running. It makes an automatic one-hit knockout.
Yeah. I've been playing a ton with Teal Mask Ogerpon. It's been something I've been really working on. And I took this Teal Mask Ogerpon team to like just outside the top 500 on the Showdown ladder right now. And this thing is the truth. This is the truth Pokemon. Like, I think that this is going to be the big format for it. There's now the Intimidators running around to get the Defiant boost. Chuppa was running the Covert Cloak on his Ogerpon here, which allows you to ignore Fake Outs, to ignore Icy Wind speed drops, to ignore things like that, making it very consistent. And overall, it has just like a really amazing matchup into the format. I've been running Life Orb Adamant, and Life Orb Adamant Terra Grass Ivy Cudgel neutral does like 60% into Incineroar. It's a joke. It is a joke.
That's so dumb.
And you get the speed boost when you Terra Grass. So with this format where there's not a ton of speed control running around, we haven't seen as much Tornadus and Trick Room and things like that. You can go and Terra Speed on the turn one, just boost your speed and take a Flutter Mane. You can take another Ogre Pond. You can pop a Chien Pao down to Focus Sash next to your Choice Scarf Urshifu. Or you can follow me and set up with something else. And it's just like, This Pokemon is so, so good. I really can't speak enough praises. I love seeing it do well. Don't love the 2-2-2 Dozo team that's going on, but...
Yeah, you had both Chuppa and you had Carson Confer just miss out, bubbling out a cut with that same exact team. And I think it's just... we've talked enough about Chuppa being an absolutely... amazing, if not the best Dozo player in the world right now. And he also he mentioned his network of other Don Dozo players, and it's like having a team building group is very important, but having a group that's pretty much specifically like, we're going to make this one like archetype good, like how like all the people like Tommy's circle who are like, we're all going to make Psy Spam good and stuff, and they just focus on that single type. It's kind of neat to have like everyone you're building with have a specific goal around a specific archetype, and the fact that Dozo and these Indeedee Psy Spam like Trick Room builds have been going on and throughout different iterations of the entirety of Generation 9, and here we are a year into competitive play. Dozo comes in second. It's not the Dozo team that we saw in San Diego. And the Indeedee team isn't the same like Indeedee Trick Room team that we saw back then either. But like here they are, second place, and Brandon Davis fifth place with the Indeedee.
Yeah, the big change like from the original Dozo teams too is that like the Glamora is super offensive now because it gets power of Meteor Beam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you have the ability of just like turn one, go in and click in that move and becoming a nuke, essentially, and threatening Fluttermane on the next turn, picking up big KOs, doing big damage, and like rock type is just a hard type to switch into. And we saw with Chuppa in this tournament that every time he got a little bit of an advantage from his Glamora, whether it be picking up a KO, getting a Chien Pao down low, getting that special attack boost and just becoming a threat to his opponent, it took a lot of attention, you know, while the Dozo was on the field or with the Dozo in the back, and really set up for some good end games. This Dozo team is super threatening, and the 2-2-2 stuff is always going to be really threatening, especially at the beginning of the format like this. Doesn't mean I'm going to play it, though.
I've been trying to figure out, like, this, like, 2-2-2 core the last day or so. It's something that I think is very straightforward. Like, it's just, hey, these three pairs of Pokemon play well with each other, and it's a matter of, like, trying to really narrow down what pairs you want and how they actually work together. And I think that is something that these experienced players are obviously very good at doing, right? Like, and it is something that I strive to do better myself. It's just like something I have a tendency to do is try to play the cute mons, right? And so I have That's forced myself to start playing with the good mons instead. Like, Incineroar is on way more teams that I've, like, started to build this generation than in past generations. I've started to play with, like, Amoongus, which, like, for me is just so foreign and, like, so completely different than everything I'm used to playing.
You're, like, you're the number one Amoongus hater.
I am. I really am. And so, like,
have you learned that it's a good Pokemon?
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's so bad. It's so bad on Best of One Ladder because you get
it's abysmal.
Random, like, Terra Grass and safety goggles and stuff, and it's obviously much better in Best of Three.
Yeah, like that's what I've been playing because, again, devoting, you know, Best of Three Ladder while I'm at work is a little more.
That's a lot of time.
Yeah.
It's really hard to justify doing something like that as opposed to, and I can click buttons real quick. Hold on.
I got 5 minutes quick.
Yeah, 100%.
No, that's a long bathroom break.
Yeah.
100%.
I do just want to mention before we get off the dozo that, like, we're calling this the 222, and this isn't, like, technically the 222.
It's pretty dang close, though.
It is.
2-2-1.5.
It's like 3-2-1, kind of. Like, yeah. You have the Chi and Pao, Ogre Pond, Dragonite. You have the, like, Ogre Pond, Glamora stuff, or the Dozo, Glamora, and then you obviously have the Dozo, Geary stuff. You know, it's like 3-2, and then the Glamora is there for whenever you want it. But, like, you still have, like, the two, like, I think that this one's more flexible than your typical 2-2-2 with the Flutter Chiyu. But, and I think, like, Ogre Pond is the big deal with that, and that you have, like, this offensive and supportive mon wrapped up into one, like, tight little bow, that doesn't put all the eggs in the offensive basket, but, like, it still comes out as, like, all right, I'm going to hit you with this wave of hard offense, and then the Dozo's here, and then you got to deal with this other thing still, and So, yeah.
I'm excited to go back and actually, like, watch this Top Cut, because, like, I had it on while I was at work and just, like, listening to it or whatever, but, like, actually getting to sit down and watch it, I think, is going to be very different. I'm excited to see how this Dozo team plays. It looks really cool on paper, and granted, it's just, like, here's the good mons, right? Like, it's a reg E team. There's nothing fancy about it, but, you know, why differentiate from the good stuff if it works?
Yeah.
I'd say the next thing just type of teams we want to talk about, because talk a lot of second place, a lot about fifth place, all these other teams. We haven't talked about the first place team that was ran by Alex Underhill, Colin Heyer. I know that Audi ran the team as well. They all built it, like, all those, like, Tub guys, like, built it together. The team, Chimpao, Fluttermane, Raging Bolt, Entei, Water Ogre Pond, and Dragonite. And it's this Prio spam, like, Shen Knight team that has this balance mode where it's, like, you do have the balance of Water Pond, like, Entei, Water Pond, and Raging Bolt are super, super, super bulky Pokemon that can also put up massive amounts of damage, whether it's with Sacred Fire or the priority moves in Thunderclap or Extreme Speed. Ogre Pond's Ivy Cudgel is always a threat. This is an insanely, insanely good team that I think is going to be something that we're going to see a lot in the near future. It's at least, like, the team coming out of this event, like, this is, like, the team to beat. Leading into the event, I was seeing some iterations of, like, these Pokemon, or at least, like, the archetype of Chien Pao plus super bulky offensive priority users. And, like, to an extent, we even see it with Joe's team in sixth, where he has the Aqua Jet from Urshifu and King Gambit as another Sucker Punch Mons as, like, his extra priority Pokemon. This is just, like, it's a super cool team.
Yeah, I think Raging Bolt was the big winner this weekend. Just, like, generally speaking, like, this Pokemon, every time it was on stream and every time it was on the field, really, it just had such a looming presence. The only time I saw it get KO'd in one shot was from a Chi and Pao Ice Spinner after it Terra Grassed, which, fine.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you're going to die to the strongest super effective hit outside of Fluttermane Moonblast that you can take. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not upset about that. Like, this Pokemon just really showed the priority was fantastic with Thunderclap. You know, just not even using the priority a lot of the time and just clicking Thunderbolt, just clean stuff up and being in the back and just being bulky, having really great typing. It was massive, and it didn't falter with the drop of the Tornadus Urshifu. Like we pointed out, there was only one Water Fu in the entirety of Top Cut. And this Pokemon still had, you know, such a amazing showing, despite that meta that it was supposed to really do well into not being there.
One of the interesting things to look at with this Pokemon as well is just the item usage and the Terra usage. People really wanted to, like, this was a Pokemon, when you look at the item usage and the Terra usage, this was like everyone's Amoongus go away mon. Safety Goggles was the number one item at 27, a little over 27%. And then the ones that weren't using Safety Goggles were using Terra Grass, a little over 36% were Terra Grass. It was like everyone's like, I hate Amoongus Mon, get away. In general, outside of the fact that about it did have a little over a fourth of them use Booster Energy, there were a lot of items, like defensive items, like the top four items were Safety Goggles, followed by Booster Energy and Leftovers, which were both tied in usage, and then Assault Vest. So people were using this, like, they wanted to lean on its bulk. It's, like, the Pokemon, especially if you go with Terra Electric, the most popular Terra type for Raging Bolt, it has that natural offensive pressure where you don't need the Booster Energy boost or the Life Orb boost. So I found that just interesting as well with the Pokemon. It definitely was one of the two stars of new stars of Regulation F, and the other one being, of course, Entei, which...
Do you want me to take it from here?
Please do. I'm having a rough day.
This Pokemon is just, it's great, and you get a lot of the things that you want from Dragonite with Entei, but then you also just slap it on the team with Dragonite. And it's like, okay, you got rid of one of my extreme speed priority spammers. Now here's another one that has Choice Band instead.
Yep.
And you can't flinch it. You can't be intimidated. You are a really good natural check into Fluttermane. You click Sacred Fire, which is an extremely strong move, and you pair extremely well with Chien Pao. Obviously, Alex did use that to great success here, winning the whole tournament. I think that, you know, Entei and Raging Bolt were both really big winners in this tournament. Just featuring on really the same core, this six Pokemon was like the really big winners. We saw it across Top Cut and Day 2 and just a lot of similar teams all over the place.
Yeah, even just going down, just looking at other teams, or just, again, other archetypes of this type. Luca Paz, he didn't have the Dragonite, but he was using, or he didn't have the Dragonite or the Water Palm, but he used Rillaboom, again, Grassy Glide spam next to Chien Pao, and he actually had Gyarados, which that was a team that we kind of saw pop up in a couple Grassroots, It was very interesting to see support Gyarados come back again.
Along and Sempra with, brought that same team, yep, too.
Sempra brought the same six. We had Zay Zhang also brought a very similar team. It was like Zay's team, like the Chien Pao, Urshifu Water, along with Flutter, Rillaboom, Raging Bolt, and Entei. So like a lot of these mons were like put together, and just in general they were all putting out a ton of damage, and you always had the ability with all of their defensive synergies to be able to switch in and out and just reposition your Pokemon to get the right Pokemon in to put out a lot of damage.
So I'm just, not to deter too much, I'm over here looking at the... I'm sorting by win rate. And one that I think we should probably talk about here is this third place team having Screamtail on it.
This team is...
I think...
The other one I want to talk about is the fifth place team with Gallade. So we can talk about, like, both of them. Because...
But that's not a Gallade. That's a Silver Ledge.
On the fifth place team?
Not... The...
Is it,
It's literally not.
There was like, is it the team sheet error?
Yes. I can't remember which regional it was. I want to say it was Pittsburgh. Brian Collins. I think
so.
Yeah, I think Brian Collins ran like I think that exact six. And he nicknamed his Gallade Cerulege in, like, quotation marks. And gotcha. They told him after day one that he is not allowed to use his Gallade anymore.
And then he proceeded to top cut with five Pokemon.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha.
Like, quite literally, this guy just... Yeah, no Pokemon for you. Okay. Still going to top eight.
So what's
crazy to me is... That they then just go, hey, can you remove the nickname?
I think they actually just recently changed the, like, in the most recent, like, set of rules where if that is the case now, they will, if, like, you're able to change the nickname, you can just change the nickname and go. So, kind of sucked for Brian.
Yeah, Mann. Like, obviously that's... Yeah.
But I think that they fixed it. Funny thing with Brian, mentioning Brian, so his like Twitter name and everything, it's Angelo Hunter. And so when I was at the GU local on Thursday, I met someone for the first time. I'm like, oh, hi, I'm Angelo. And he's like, Angelo Hunter? I'm like, no, I'm not that good. Like, I know Brian, great guy, not him. He actually got a Worlds invite. I have a whopping 16 CP to my name.
For now, we're working on that.
For now.
So Screamtail.
Yeah, Screamtail, third place team. I love this team. I was rooting I really like Alex. Like I usually root for him when he's on stream and such. Hyper Voice Podcast, please come back at some point. But when I said like the Screamtail, just the team in general, it was like a super, super fun team. I really think Goldengo Regidrago is a cool combo and it was always just great where the Screamtail would just sit there and it would just, you know, be a little guy and encore disable things and just be a menace. When there's so much fake out in this format, to be able to follow up a fake out with a super fast encore lock, it's menacing. And you can pretty much have plays where you can say, okay, you're one of your two Pokemon's going to do absolutely nothing next turn because I'm picking what move it's using and it's a useless one.
Speaking of like Encore, I think is very good. Did you all get to watch that replay of me bullying people with Politoed?
Yes, you sent it twice.
I did not yet.
It's
actually no, he sent it to us three times. You sent it in the podcast chat once.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. I'm pulling
I didn't right send now. It to you all. I sent it just there. I've been doing stuff with like Encore Politoed, which is kind of like looking at this, it's kind of doing what Screamtail is doing, but Screamtail's probably better.
Screamtail was yeah. so unreal in this tournament. Anton played it like an absolute monster.
Yeah. So there were actually three of them total, two of which were the exact same set, and then. The third set dropped Dazzling Gleam for Perish Song and was zero attack. Zero damage output Screamtail makes me just laugh. Just disable Encore, protect Perish Song. We will get there eventually.
I'm going to KO you in three turns.
Yeah, we did see how important that Dazzling Gleam was in like the top yeah. cut with Anton's play because they would get Chan Pao down to Sashes and just be able to pick it up. And I think that Anton really showed why Screamtail is so good. I've been thinking a little bit, you know, I've been talking about doing Iron Boulder for laddering, and I've been thinking about doing like an encore type of set with it too, because it's fast and has that, but like, Screamtail is just so solid, and it works so well into this core with Golden Go.
The the Parasong Screamtail player was Nishant. So,
Nishant brought Parish.
Yeah, Parish Trap.
No attack.
Yeah, no, so yeah, they said...
They brought the little guy, they brought Politoed. He's there for moral support.
Yeah. Sadly, like, Nishant did say Politoed was 1,000% the weak link on the team. But
no,
as a man who got to bully a Bastiodon earlier, Politoed is great
in a format with Raging Bolts. No, and like all these Ogre Pawns, no shot. Come on,
Jay, I need you to stop making fun of my little frog. He's just a cute little guy.
I was so high on Politoed. Yeah, but Screamtail is like, can back it up.
That's
right?
So true.
Yeah. Screamtail's got badass hair.
Yeah, Screamtail, and not even that.
Politoed's got hair.
A little alfalfa thing up here.
Yeah, it's like, a balding man just like holding on to like the last like limit.
Just let it go, man.
Exactly. Just shave it. Okay, let's get back to Screamtail. Back to Anton's team. They also read another Assault Vest Incineroar, which, again, it's not something that people really talked about or we really prep for. We always just
Terra Dragon as well. Very cool.
Terra Dragon, yeah. I think, is a great Terra for it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because you have, like, you do have, you already have two Spore Resist on your team and the Wellspring Ogre Pond and the Goldengo. I think what's interesting is that it has Snarl as a dark type attack instead of knockoff.
Instead of knockoff, yeah.
And in general, one of the things with this team that was brought up a lot on stream was that in the grand scheme of things, your really, really big hitter is this Goldengo, which is a Terra Steel Metal Coat Nasty Plot Goldengo. And there were a few times on stream where it's, believe it was game 3 of their top 4 set against Alex, and Alex called the switch in and went and shadow balled right into a Goldengo switch in for the knockout, and that pretty much like sealed up the game right then and there, because like if Anton loses the Goldengo too early, the rest of the team, I mean, Regidrago can put out a lot of damage with Dragon Energy, but it also has to deal with all of the priority in the format that is going to make it super difficult to be able to fire off full health Dragon Energies.
And so, the Fluttermane on the other side of the field too, which was a big problem. It only had Earth Power to hit it. So. Mm.
Yeah, no, this is so like, as this team is really, really amazing. And I think it's something that people definitely can develop on, but one of the things that I am looking at, like, I'm not saying that going knockoff or over Snarl would really change anything, but at least you would have another more another sort of damage button in general. You aren't doing a lot, but at least you're doing something more than what Snarl is, or
something is better than nothing.
Yeah,
yeah, 100%.
So, yeah, not going and saying, oh, this third place team is bad, I think it's great. But
I love this team. I think this is really well constructed, and I think the play patterns behind it are just super unique.
Yeah, I can see a situation where someone is able to take like at least the core ideas of this team and really like flesh it out even more. Maybe find some other spots to keep the supporty things, but add in some more just consistent secondary damage pressure to complement the Goldengo and the Regidrago. So moving on to the fifth place Brandon Davis's team, the Psy Spam Sun team. It's kind of just classic Trick Room to an extent, or at least what we've learn to be classic, like, hard trick room in 2023-2024. Brandon Davis has said in one of his winners interviews, he's been playing this archetype since Series 1. So again, it's that situation of, I've been playing the same thing for a year, and my experience with this, with these Pokemon, are going to allow me to outplay my opponents, even in matchups that might not be super favorable. Psyspam also got a gift where Expanding Force is now a TM, so Hatterene gets Expanding Force back.
There was something else I played against earlier today that really surprised me with Expanding Force. Oh, it was Iron Valiant. Oh. I've played against a lot of Iron Valiant the last, you know, couple days, because it has access to, you know, like, booster, you get, you know, either booster speed or, can you get booster special attack?
I'm assuming you can, right? Yeah, I think it's special attack is like 115 or like 105 or something. It's
really high.
Yeah, the special attack's higher than the speed, so yeah.
It's what, 115?
Okay. So yeah, fairly easily than just nature.
120, wow.
Why does it have 130 attack? Why did they have to make it so?
Dude, it's such a shame.
Yeah, they min-maxed all the other ones' stats so well, and then they let Valiant just to die.
Well, I think it's like they made Valiant like with the thought where it's like, oh, it's Gardevoir and Gallade, so the high attack, high special attack. I'm like, no, we just want one.
Just give us one, please.
It's a menace in singles because you could play mixed attackers in singles.
We'll get back to singles. I actually think this format's really cool. But yeah, Iron Valiant is really interesting. It has shocked me how well it is played every time I've played against it. I don't know if you all have actually seen it, but it's been really impressive.
I haven't. Like, it has the, like, a slight, like, when you're looking at it in comparison to some of the other Psyspam, especially, like, the Iron Crown stuff, because I think it's the most comparable.
Mm-hmm.
Your big difference is that you have, like, a natural way to hit into, like, Incineroar. You can click Aura Sphere without clicking Terra Water.
You don't have to click Focus Blast.
Or that. That's the other option that you got. You can click Aura Sphere, you can click Moon Blast will still do a lot. You know, you're running probably, I would imagine, three moves protect on those Iron Valiant sets. The only other thing is that you are losing that Steel Psychic typing, which is a good type, and the Stab Expanding Force that Crown gets. So
there was not a single Iron Valiant at this event.
I think it's just because it's outclassed by all the other ones. I can't believe there's Leaves.
Yeah.
There's a Leaves there.
Wait,
there's a Leaves and 8 boulders.
Boulder, I understand. Like, boulder, I get. Boulder has Mighty Cleave. It can go through Protect. It has high speed, good special, like, good bulk and good moves, but.
Yeah, so.
Oh, we're doing ally switch things with Iron Leaves. Get out of here. It gets Quash? Hold on.
I'm just wondering, like.
Expert belts.
Jeez. We go to a team with Gallade, and all of a sudden we get to Iron Leaves.
Me saving that for later. Yeah, go on.
off the tracks.
You know, you are the person who plays the bad mons, and yeah.
I just found a team. Leave me alone. It has a Raquinid on it. You can't hate it.
I do like my spider. Back on the tracks, I like the Gallade being the tertiary trick room setter on this team, and also being a wide guard mon is really cool. Sharpness lets it put out a ton of damage with both Psycho Cut and Sacred Sword. It's it hits harder than you think, and it just does a really good job at supporting these other Pokemon in general.
Notably, it's a physical, like, Trick Room setter as well.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the rest of this team is absurdly special heavy, and that is kind of something that I think that, like, the Trick Room teams have kind of suffered from, is that, like, primarily it's Indeedee, and you have, like, Torkoal and Hatterene. Like, I mean, those are fairly standard, right? And, like, instead of Torkoal, you can sometimes have Armor Rouge as, like, another setter. But, like, having these physical threats of, like, Ursaluna and Gallade, I think really can make the team develop in such a way where it's multifaceted and people have to play against it appropriately. As opposed to, oh, I guess I'm just gonna sit and click wide guard and snarl, and like then their trick room's over and we're fine, right? So yeah. I think having these dynamic ways of playing the game is good for the teams.
One of the best plays of the day, or one of the coolest plays, was when Brandon Davis was on stream. And so for those of you who don't know, when you click Stellar Terra, when you click Stellar Terra Terra Blast into another Terrastalized Pokemon, it is always super effective. And he was able to click the his Urshifu is Choice Scarf, Wicked Blow, Terra Blast, U-Turn, and Close Combat. And he was able to do the Stellar Terra Terra Blast into, it was a Terra Fairy Fluttermane for a knockout. And that was just like a really cool moment where like you got to like the brand new Terra mechanic, and that specific interaction was actually able to be shown on stream, which I thought was a just you know, a really cool moment. The Terra, like the Stellar Terra Blast, I'll get it at some point, won't drop my R, it's just like a very interesting tech for the Urshifu to use over the Sucker Punch. Please don't let me say Stellar again. The Rhode Island side of my accent is coming out where my R turns into an ah.
So where are we at? What else we want to talk about, boys?
Michael Zhang's team. It's amazing.
Give me a Magmar
22nd. And he has Magmar, Komo-o, Latios, Primarina, Tyranitar, and Rillaboom.
Okay, this is very similar to the team he won originally. Yeah. I think what's interesting is that he's using Soldew on the Latios, which is super cool. Primarina is just a generally cool Pokemon with that Life Dew, along with the Moonblast and the Hyper Voice. With Rocky Helmet, it plays that like bulky water type role that you really can't hit into without punishing yourself. And Magmar is just a super cool Eviolite Pokemon. It's because Flame Body is an amazing ability with all of these Pokemon that are using physical attacks to get redirected into Magmar. You're risking a 30% chance of getting burnt and losing all of your damage output.
I just sent this team to Carl and said, hey, can you possibly reconstruct the EVs for this team? This is sick.
I think like one of the really cool things about this team is that there's only two Terra types across the whole team. Three of them are grass and three of them are steel.
Do we know, was this ever on camera? I'm assuming it was, right?
I believe it was at some point.
I can't recall.
I don't remember, but I know they were talking about it and like the Pokemon on the team. Gotcha. Like,
okay.
Michael used the Terra Steel Komo with Iron Defense Body Press to win with the Tyranitar. I'm sure it was with the Rillaboom too. I think that adding in like these new Reg F tools, like the Magmar, the Primarina, and the Latios, are all super cool here.
I think they are very cool pieces of tech.
Luster Purge, like Mist Ball, got buffed, and on Latios, it does
so
much damage.
95 base damage is absurd.
50% chance to lower special defense, too.
Yeah, it's really awesome. Great. I love it.
No, Latios, it's definitely a great Pokemon. It is the more offensive Mon. Latios, while it had some amazing success during the first few weeks, it did fall off. There were a few Latios that came in day two. We had three day two Latioses day two, including Ryan Haig, Sableye VGC, finishing in seventh place with his Latios balance team. Which is the standard six, like the Latios, Gambit, Water Pond, Lando, Eye, Flutter, except he went with his two in Arcanine as his fire type Intimidator instead of the Incineroar. And then in 18th place, we also have Bridger Snow with the Latios, Water Pond, and Ensign. However, Bridger also brought Meteor Beam Glamora, Metagross, and Clefairy. So that was just another spin on how to use on that team. say another, or just another thing I noticed in general, there was a lot more, not in Top Cup, but just in Day 2, there were a handful more Blood Moon Ursulunas than we've been used to seeing recently, and all on different types of arc, on different archetypes. You had a Blood Moon in 14th place on a Gen Knight team that had Frigoraph, Rillaboom, Waterfu, and Blood Moon. And then you also had other date players in Day 2 with it. Enzo
there's Rekki. A Smeargle team. I want to.
There are two Smeargle teams.
There well, specifically two. With Blood Moon.
Yes, there are two Smeargle Blood Moon teams. You had Enzo Rekki, which was a Tailwind team. So it was no Trick Room, a Tailwind Blood Moon team, along with Smeargle, Darkfu, Entei, and Goldengo. And then you also had, where is he? Give me a second. You had Ryan Hebert, with a Tail Room team, with Whims, Frigoraph, Blood Moon, Darkfu, Chiyu, and Smeargle. I got to see this team in action at the GU local on Thursday. Ryan brought it and went 4-0 with it. You also had a more classic, like, Trick Room team. Luke Boer with the Frigoraph, Blood Moon, Enamorous Therian, Fire Ogrepan, Hands, and Darkfu in 30th. So, a lot of different Blood Moons. The damage it does is still outrageously good, and I think it's another one of those mons where if you want a soft Trick Room mode, you're able to throw the soft Trick Room into it. Except it just wasn't strong enough to get to that top cut yet.
I have a question for you all about the Ryan Herbert's team here. Why are we own tempo on Smeargle? Is there any particular reason to be own tempo over Moody?
Give me a second.
Gotta look him up.
Because it's Enzo's... probably just. Enzo's team is Moody.
Oh, so it does block Intimidate, but we really don't care about that.
Yeah.
I can just ask him.
Yeah, please. I would love to get an answer, because his is the only one that's own tempo, so I'm curious. But like,
he might have not been able to get the ability patch for it.
I also played against a Smeargle earlier on ladder that was also own tempo. So, like, I didn't know if that was something that people are trending towards, or because it was also this like decorate own tempo set, so I didn't know if that was something that like people were trending towards, or if it was just someone forgot to click the button on Showdown to give it Moody.
Well, I mean, like with Moody, you're also risking, I guess, the drops,
yeah, like speed and, drops, I guess.
And maybe they're thinking, yeah, maybe I'd like to instead just play consistently and know every single turn that my Smeargle is going to outspeed this and not outspeed that. Be able to play around a little bit more.
It doesn't get any other abilities, right? It's just those two?
I think so. That would be my best guess for you would be that.
It also gets Technician, which I mean, I know the two of you are just... I'm going to say the words Technician Stab Fake Out, and you're just going to go nutso. Yeah, that's what I thought.
I'm so excited. Keep talking.
Dancing hands.
Speaking of things that will make out. You go... Yeah, but like...
I saw there was a Volbeat. I don't know if there was an Ambipom. Nope.
Yeah.
Someone's got to get on the Ambipom train already.
There was no Illumise. There was a Volbeat, though.
Illumise already had its time in the sun.
The Volbeat player went 0-4, for anyone who's curious.
They weren't using Illumise, that's why. I'd say, honestly, one of the big surprises, especially just the matches that we saw on stream and in Top Cut, I thought that I thought that Rain archetypes around Arcaludon would be more popular. The first Arcaludon team we see is 15th place, Eli Knowlton, who ran an Amoongus, Pelipper, Baxcalibur, Waterfu, Fluttermane, Arcaludon team. I think this is super neat because I love Baxcalibur, and also it's using the proper Rain Setter. But it wasn't like outside of that. That's just
like your opinion, man.
Opinions.
That's a really weird looking tornadoes.
Yeah, let's be honest. Tornadoes is the real rain.
Yeah, center. And then like the next like the tornadoes rain, like the tornadoes style like rain team that we kind of expected to see was Ryan Bailey's team, and Riley didn't came in 26th, along with so it was the torn Shifu, Lander Asterion, Rillaboom with Loaded Dice, Focus Sash. Stellar Terror, Chien Pao, and then the Arpaludon.
Bullet Seed Rillaboom is a mood.
Protect, Bullet Seed, Grassy Glide, Fake Out, and even the Arpaludon, it's Terra Flying, and it has Heavy Slam, Body Press, Snarl, Draco Meteor. So it's not even running the... So it is an Assault Vest Mon, but it's not even running the type of moves that we expected Arcaludon to run with. So I do think that's a little interesting that we really didn't see those Pokemon. Arcaludon especially, because it's typing... The only thing I can think of is it's neutral into the Sacred Fire of... It's neutral into the Sacred Fire, and you also struggle against the Sacred Sword of that Gentai combo. But in general, like if you can put this thing in the rain, it can eat up. It can definitely eat up the extreme speeds. And maybe moving forward, what we see in Charlotte is that whether on rain or just on a standalone, Arcaludon's just used more because of its stamina ability and its typing allowing it to eat these priority attacks a lot better.
I think Arcaludon's main problem is that you have to put it in rain, and then when you're doing that, you are also powering up rain-boosted Surging Strikes, which can crit through those stamina boosts.
Yep. I Terra Watered in front of them, and they Terra Watered back, and Surging Strikes KO'd me. I'm just like...
Yeah, it does a lot, and then you also are taking into account the critical hitting Dark Urshifu, which is popping up.
Mm-hmm.
You have the bad special defense to take those fodder main moon blasts, and yeah, I mean, Arcaludon is a very strong Pokemon, and I've struggled playing against it, and when it gets set up, it can be really tough to deal with.
Yep.
But you also have things like Raging Bolt, which can hit it for a lot of damage. You have like Calm Mind Raging Bolt, which is a thing. You have Walking Wakes around. You have just a lot of Pokemon that do a lot of damage into it. Incineroar can Parting Shot off of it and really take away some of its things. And yeah, being in rain is not huge when you're getting chopped down by Surging Strikes.
Yeah. Speaking of Walking Wake, that's another Pokemon, or just Sun archetypes as a whole. Walking Wake was number 14th in usage, just a 1.2 percentage points below Frigarath. It's, however, when you look at its win-loss rate of only just under 41% for the 14th highest Pokemon. When you look at all of the Pokemon in like that top 14 or top 15, really, it has the lowest win rate of all of them. So I know it was a Pokemon that a lot of people are super interested in running and using. And maybe it's just, it's not the right time for it. It's not the right meta. People haven't figured out the right way to use it. But as of right now, it looks like, I'm not calling it Sinistra, but it might be like similar to where Sinistra was at the beginning of Regulation E, where a lot of people, us included, were very high on Sinistra, and it was just never able to turn the hype and the usage stats into actual results. So Walking Wake might be one of those Pokemon that is in that top 20 usage and just never actually gets there in terms of win rate.
6-3 does not make day 2, right? It's 7-2 no. better?
Yeah, it's 7-2.
7-2 are better.
Yeah, not a single Walking Wake made day 2.
Yeah,
it takes a lot of resources to get it going, and like the format isn't very fun to it. Ogre Pond Wellspring kind of eats it for breakfast for the most part.
Yeah, no, and it's also like one of these Pokemon, it's, let me pull up its defenses.
Like, you need Sun, you need Tailwind, you're very rarely getting both on the same turn.
Well, you can't get both, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't like Raging Bolt, it doesn't like, you know, like, a lot, it doesn't like Fluttermane, like the which also takes advantage of the Sun. I think the format's just harsh for it.
I think one of the other things is your bulk is base 99 HP, base 91 defense, base 83 special defense. However, you're investing heavily in speed and in and special attack. It's a very offensive Pokemon, usually carrying Life Orb. And that means that you can't invest into these bulk stats. And just with your natural bulk alone, it's one of those things. Same reason why I think Landorus Incarnate, which was a top Pokemon in day one that fell off in day two and didn't have that, the conversion and results, is you aren't eating a Sucker Punch and an Extreme Speed. And if you're protecting, that means you just aren't, like, you're an offensive Pokemon. You can't just go and, I'm going to protect. And okay, if you protect, then you're pretty much wasting the turn, and you're not, unless your partner Pokemon can put out a lot of pressure as well, you're in the same exact boat next turn, but now it's even riskier for you because they can just safely double into you again with these priority attacks.
I really like this this jump lift team here that is next to it, but not a, I don't know. It seems cool on paper, but I think, like you all were saying, it's just, there's a lot in this format that makes Walking Wake not so great.
I mean, that's six. You can see it also right below. Pengi, Stefan Mott was using it, and he had a lot of great success in using this team.
Is it the exact, a lot of in the a exact lot of sets recent... and everything, or do you know?
I think I can check the exact
sets. Yep, it is.
Sets. Yeah.
The Fissure Torkoal gives it away.
Yeah. So, Pengi's been using this so often, or at least was doing so well in the grassroots leading up to this event. If you can actually see it on the Lab Mouse screen, on the top left, Tim just added this top teams. Top left. Left. Your other left. There we go. Tim just added a top teams, and it'll show, like, top compositions. He goes and has the scoring. And if you scroll down a little, I think it's you want to sort by score. So if you scroll down a little, at least, I mean, this it might have changed post-event. Right there. You can see the team right there. And if you click on it, you can see the people who scored with the team. It's updated since because we now have, like, a lot more tournaments. But there was a point where this team was literally, like, Pengi just got this team on the top teams list himself.
10-2. Yeah.
It's a good team. I think it might not just be the meta for it as of right now. Or at least that Portland meta wasn't as good.
Well, boys, what are we thinking?
I think overall this was a fun, this looks to be a very fun format, and I really just hope it continues to be as fun as it's been.
Yeah, and speaking of, we have some news to announce. Speaking of our format,
we do.
We recently just announced that we are coming back with our Little Root Lessons circuit. Both Dojos and Rumbles are coming back. Starting with Reg F, starting with a new format very soon. Signups are already open for the Dojo, I believe.
Yeah, Dojo signups are open.
Those will close sometime this morning, if I remember. Sometime Monday morning.
I think the signups will close a little after the podcast goes up. The signups will close, and
so
then...
For those of you who are new to the community, our dojos are just a weekly best of three match that you get paired up with someone, and you can play it on cart, you can play it on showdown, and for playing, you get points. for winning, you get more points. And then playing in those rumbles, which are just our weekend tours. Playing in those, you earn points to qualify for our Invitational, which will be held at the end of April this season. So if that is something that you're interested in playing and qualifying in, please make sure you join the Discord that has everything you need to know related to it there. And it is something that I think this is the fourth season we've ran now.
I think this is the fourth.
Yeah, I think this is the second time we've ran it with the points. Flat qualification. But yeah, if this is something that you're interested in playing in a invitational-esque style tournament series, then please, by all means, join. They are some of the more fun events that I've played in quite a while, and I'm actually really excited now that I'm off on Saturdays. I'm actually going to be able to play in our Rumbles, so that should be something that, you know, if you want to come beat me up for fun, then by all means, you'll know where I'm at.
Yeah, come play against the hosts on the Rumbles, because I'm also off on Saturdays, which allows me to play quite a bit as well. Thank you all so much for watching. Make sure you guys like, subscribe, comment all the fun YouTube stuff. Make sure you guys follow us over on Twitter at LR Lessons. Go check out the website, www.lrlessons.com. Come join that community Discord where we got the dojos, the Rumbles, all the fun stuff. We're all hanging out there. You can also support us by, help us keep the lights on over on Patreon and on Discord supporters. Thank you, Johnny Bravo Sr. and Papa Swish for Patreon and Smeargle for Discord. And with that, thank you all so much for watching. We'll see you guys next time. Peace out.